Hello, this is Lois Pausch reading the Vermillion County News for Friday, July the 13th. Yes, it is Friday the 13th. And the first article has the headline, Balloons Soar in Splash Dash. A 40-foot target doesn't seem very big when you're it, especially when you're about 4,000 feet up in the air. It's just as well because for hot air balloon pilots who participated in this year's Splash and Dash, the competition of hitting a target in Lake Vermillion was secondary. They were there to put on a show. Spectators in their boats cheered the pilots on as they dipped into the water, the splash, and rose again the dash. Pilot Walt Rudy was... Pilot Walt Rudy waved to boats as he floated down next to them in his balloon dubbed Our Big Bundle of Joy. Walt and his wife, Deb, are from Illinois, but now live in Wadsworth, Ohio. It's like coming home, Walt said of the balloons over Vermillion Festival. The couple participated back when the Balloon Classic still hailed. For an event like Splash and Dash, there are certain things pilots have to pay closer attention to. We have to find the right wind level to take us to the target, Walt said. To determine where to take off, Walt and other pilots had to do a PIBAL, that's P-I-B-A-L, test, which stands for Pilot Observation Balloon, where they released a helium balloon to determine the direction and speed of the wind. It was then trial and error finding a launching spot, but pretty soon a handful of balloonists decided on the lawn near Danville's BR store. With help from his crew, Walt was up in the air flying over Lake Vermillion, waving and greeting everyone down below. When Bundle of Joy was about to clear the lake, it slightly grazed a balloon with a pirate ship on it, piloted by Larry Owen. "Larry, we're going to kiss you, buddy," Walt shouted to his friend. As the balloons continued to float over the northwest end of the lake, pilots contacted their chasers to determine a landing spot. The chasing crew followed in their vehicles to meet up. Walt landed in the backyard of Dave and Susan Warner, who said they get balloonists about every year. Soon after, Deb and the rest of the Rudy clan were there to put their bundle of joy away for the night. If you ask Deb, ballooning is the only way to fly. Her husband would agree with her and then tell you to look up the word cottywomple. Merriam-Webster's website defines the word as to travel in a purposeful manner toward an uncertain destination. And the next article has the headline, Eliana Relay for Life Has New Look. Dateline Covington, Indiana. Four counties in Indiana and one in Illinois have joined forces to create an all-new Eliana Relay for Life on August 4th. This is the second year for the combined counties relay, but this year the event has been overhauled with new organizers, a new board, and a new outlook. When you bring more counties in, you bring more opportunities to have more room to grow, said Laura Bell, the event leader, along with Shelby Dickinson. We're pretty excited about some of the activities going on. Counties involved are Vermillion in Illinois and Vermillion, Fountain, Warren, and Park in Indiana. The relay raises awareness and funds for the American Cancer Society, celebrates cancer survivors, and remembers loved ones. The public is invited to join the activities. You don't have to be a cancer survivor or patient or a team member. Eliana Relay for Life will be from 2 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, August 4th, at the Covington Trojan Complex in Covington. There's a packed schedule from local cheer teams performing, Mia Price singing, and the Stone Bluff Band closing out the entertainment for the evening. There will be food and unique shopping vendors, raffles, games, and a kids' corner with inflatables, superheroes, and princesses, and more. Unique vendors are invited to sign up for a flat fee of $25, which will go to the American Cancer Society. We want people to come and enjoy themselves and have a lot to do while they are here, Dickinson said. We want to appeal to all ages. Bell added, we look forward to this year and seeing how the teams and community react to the new face of the relay. The Relay Board is kicking off the event with a survivor dinner August 1st at the Friendship Center in Covington. Offered will be a home-cooked meal, entertainment by professional harpist Olivia Overpeck, and a fun craft for the survivors and one caregiver. This is our way of celebrating and honoring those who have fought and won and those that have been by their side, Bell said. There is no charge, but reservations are due by July 23rd. Also, a bank night will be from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time, July 24th, at the Cottage Meeting House, 801 Pearl, Covington, so teams can turn in their donations early. However, teams may turn in their donations throughout the day of the relay, and donations will be accepted for a couple of months afterward. There is no charge for teams to participate in the relay. You may register in advance through the website or on the day of the event. Bell said this year's goal, which is set by the American Cancer Society, is $27,000. Already, she said, about $15,000 has been raised of that, $13,000 coming from the Beauty of Hope pageant. The rest of the money will be raised through vendors' fees, team selling items. For example, Bell's team will sell wish bracelets, glow sticks, and suckers, and t-shirts for a $100 donation. Also, sponsors are being sought. Other fundraising items or events are listed on the Facebook page. About 10 teams have signed up already, Bell said. Bell and Dickinson are no strangers to the American Cancer Society and relays. For more than 6 years, they have organized the Beauty of Hope pageant, which has raised a total of more than $50,000 for the local relay and American Cancer Society. Anna Keyes, a new American Cancer Society representative, asked the two women to be involved with the relay after attending one of the pageants. I knew I wanted them on board with revamping the Ileana relay after seeing the pageant for the first time, she said. These two women have a great passion for the cause, she added. We have a great lineup of entertainment for the day. Now we just need more teams to get involved. Bell and Dickinson already are thinking about next year. We do hope to extend the time from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. or noon to 10 p.m. next year if this year is a success, Bell said. The location will change each year as well, with the relay possibly being in Danville next year, she said. As for this year, Dickinson said, we welcome people to just come out and enjoy the day and support the cause if they do not want to start a team this year. It is an event for all. And now the obituaries. And the first is for Richard Allen Hall, 91, of Danville, who died on July 4th, 2018. Richard will be laid to rest with his wife, June, at the Danville National Cemetery. And the next is for Mary Tyler, 76, of Milwaukee, formerly Danville, who died on Wednesday, July 4th, in Milwaukee. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Leek and Sons Funeral Home, 304 East Williams Street, Danville. And the next is Ruth Ann Harden, 90, of Deer Park, Texas, formerly of Tilton, who passed away on January 1st, 2018. A celebration of life memorial service will be held at 11 a.m. Saturday, July 14th, 2018, in the Fellowship Hall of Catlin Church of Christ, 715 West Vermilion Street, Catlin. And the next is for Charles C.J. Francis, 73, of Gibson City, Illinois, and formerly of Kingman, Indiana, who died on July 8th in Gibson City. Visitation will be at Sanders Funeral Care, 203 South 1st Street, Kingman, on Saturday, July 14th, from noon Eastern Time until the time of the funeral service at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Burial will follow at Kingman Fraternal Cemetery. And the next is for Lillian Vashti, or Vasti, 96, of Westville, who died on July 11th. A massive Christian burial will be at 10 a.m. Monday, July 16th at St. Mary's Catholic Church, 231 North State Street, Westville, with Father Timothy Salpi officiating. Visitation will be from 4 to 7 p.m. Sunday, July 15th, at Sunset Urbis Funeral Chapel, 414 South State Street, Westville. She will be entombed at Resurrection Cemetery, Danville. And now we go back to news articles. And the first article has the headline, Parents, Students Eager for School. Dateline Danville. The summer went by fast, really fast, for Northeast Elementary Magnet School students who just ended the last school year a mere 5 weeks ago. Their first full day of school doesn't start for another 3 weeks at most of Danville District 118 schools. But at Northeast, which is a year-round school, most students and their parents are eager to kick off another school year on Tuesday, July 24th. On Thursday, Northeast opened its doors for school registration, where parents, some accompanied by their children, brought registration forms that were mailed home to be filled out ahead of time, learned about Boy Scouts and the school's PTA, and discussed immunizations and student schedules with Northeast's new nurse, Brittany Zindars, and other new Northeast staff members. Northeast's new principal, Markeisha Parker, said she was surprised but pleased to see the line of parents and students waiting in front of the school when the doors opened at 10 a.m. "I couldn't believe we had a line, and we've been pretty steady ever since," she said after the first half hour of the registration event. Taking a cue from District 118's three-day centralized registration blitz last month at the David S. Palmer Civic Center, Parker said registration forms were mailed home to the families of returning Northeast students so that they could be filled out ahead of time to help streamline the registration process. "I couldn't have planned it better," Parker said of how smoothly the event was running. "Parents don't want to take an hour to fill out the forms here. Plus, we wanted it to be uniform with what the rest of the district was doing and use the same uniform paperwork." Mindy Holmiller, who accompanied her first grade son, Layton, said she liked this year's registration process. "I like that we got the packets ahead of time," Holmiller said. "I'm more relaxed filling it out at home." Jennifer Reinberg, who was registering her first grade son, Dylan, agreed that this year's registration process was better than last year. "It's easier in here, the gym, than when they had it in the lobby and you're trying to fill out forms with kids running around," she said. Parker said she hopes Northeast will be included in the district's centralized registration event next year. The school wasn't included at last month's event because Northeast students were still attending school. "We want to be part of the unity of the district," she said. As a magnet school, Northeast emphasizes healthy eating, healthy lifestyles, and physical activity, as well as parental involvement. Parents of Northeast students are required to spend 26 hours volunteering at the school or being involved in activities with their child. A new feature at this year's Northeast registration event was a table where parents could submit information and, for some parents, fingerprints for a background check that will go into effect this coming school year. "We are doing background screenings of all parents who are going to do volunteer work, such as lunch duty, mentoring, or helping in the library," Parker said. Parents who act as a volunteer coach for a sport that is sponsored by a Northeast teacher will be fingerprinted in addition to the background check. Parker said the reason parents are being asked to submit to a background check is because children can perceive the adults as being in a position of authority. "Since Northeast parents sign a contract every school year promising to commit to 26 volunteer hours annually at the school, or for the benefit of the school, the new background screenings are important. They will have to submit to a background screening every year," Parker said of the parents. "We're also reassuring families that if their background check doesn't come back clear, it doesn't mean their child won't be able to attend Northeast. We'll just have to be creative in what they can do to complete their volunteer hours." Families moved along at a reasonable pace Thursday morning, stopping at various informational tables set up around the perimeter of the school's gym. District 118 Family Liaison Patty Juarez assisted Lucia Mendoza and her children, fifth grader Brittany Sanchez and kindergartner Gael Sanchez. Little Gael even received a new book as a gift. "I take care of my family," Juarez said, as she relayed important information to Mendoza in Spanish. Jennifer Rambol, who teaches in a different District 118 school, registered her daughter, who will start kindergarten at Northeast. "She's excited to start kindergarten," Rambol said, as Kate clutched a new book and smiled. And now, community briefs, and the first are from Danville. The first has the headline, Bulls Play Saturday. The Vermilion Bulls Vintage Baseball Ball Club will host the Indianapolis Blues in vintage baseball matches at Kennecott County Park at noon Saturday. The clubs will play by the rules and customs of 1858 with replica uniforms and equipment. The playing fields are across from the Lake Bingo Boat Access parking lot. Follow the signs along the park's main road. Spectators should bring lawn chairs for seating, free admission. And the next brief has the headline, Peaches Available. Vermilion County Farm Bureau is taking orders for its annual peach sales. A half bushel, 25-pound box of fresh Freestone peaches is $32 per box for Vermilion County Farm Bureau M and or A Plus members, $34 for A members, and $39 for non-members. The peaches will be delivered in mid-August. Those ordering peaches will be notified of the date. Orders and payment are due July 31st and can be mailed to or dropped by the Vermilion County Farm Bureau, 1905 C, U.S. Route 150, Danville, Illinois, 61832. For information, contact 217-442-8713 or download an order form from www.vcfb.info. And the next brief is from Georgetown. And the headline is Muster at Forest Glen. The Vermilion County Conservation District will host a French and Indian muster on Saturday and Sunday at the Pioneer Homestead in Forest Glen Preserve. The costume reenactors will portray life during 1740 to 1763. Hours will be from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturday and 10 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. Sunday. A full battle with muskets and cannons will take place at 2 p.m. each day. The event is free. Call 662-2142 for information. And the next is an editorial with the headline, Balloon Event Lifts Off Today. Once again, the skies over Vermilion County will fill with color today and Saturday with Mother Nature's cooperation. At Balloons Over Vermilion starts its annual run at the Vermilion Regional Airport on North Bowman Street. In addition to the 35 or so beautiful hot air balloons, event organizers put together a full schedule of events of interest from the youngest to the more senior visitors. A shuttle service will run every 50 minutes from Walmart, Lowe's on North Vermilion, Big R Plaza on North Vermilion, and Turtle Run on East Liberty Lane. Balloon visitors can park and ride the shuttles for free from 2:30 p.m. until midnight today and 12:30 p.m. until midnight Saturday. Entry for parking at the airport will be from West Newell and will cost $5 per car and $5 per person. In addition to balloon flights scheduled for 6:30 p.m. today, 6:30 a.m. Saturday, and 6:30 p.m. Saturday, tethered balloon rides will be available both nights beginning at 6:30 p.m. A balloon glow also is scheduled for 8:30 p.m. each night. Today's schedule also features a salute to military personnel. Patriot riders will place hundreds of U.S. flags on the grounds and will participate in the opening ceremonies at 6 p.m. Another addition to this year's event is a hands-on archery demonstration by the 44 members of Schlarman Academy's archery team. The team has captured the state championship 3 of the past 7 years. Team members will show their skills and offer audience members a chance to shoot an arrow as well. A laser show will light the skies at 9 tonight, and local bands will fill the airport grounds with music both nights. Add in the Kids Zone attractions, along with food and other events, and it's easy to see how Balloons Over Vermilion has gained such a large following during its brief history. Make your way to the Vermilion Regional Airport this weekend to enjoy one of East Central Illinois' most spectacular events. And the next article has the headline, Speakers Host Brennan Memorial, Dateline Danville. What used to be the Crossroads Tournament is getting a makeover this season. The Tyler Brennan Memorial is now the name of the tournament. It is named for late Schlarman Academy pitcher and pitching coach of the Post-210 baseball team, who passed away in April. I was very close to Tyler, as was most of the guys on the team and the program, and with his untimely death, it is hard on us, and we are still grieving, Post-210 gold coach Alan Shepard said. He loved tournaments and tournament time, especially the postseason, so it was an automatic thing that I didn't have to think much about. The tournament will have 10 teams in two areas, the gold speakers, Crawfordsville, Charleston, Alton, and Terre Haute will play at Carl Gruber Field at Tilton, while the Post-210 blue speakers, Mattoon, Eureka, and Moultrie Douglas, will play along with host Rantoul at Rantoul. All tournaments are important, but it means a little more when you are at home. The fact that this is the Tyler Brennan Memorial now, we want to win and make everyone proud, Shepard said. We want to stay in shape with the playoffs coming up, and we want to continue what we have been doing, and that is playing really well. We want to get off to a great start, and we will try to do that starting at 8 a.m. The gold speakers will play Crawfordsville at 8 a.m. and Charleston at 10:30 a.m. today. The blue speakers will play at 8 a.m. as well when they play Rantoul, and will finish today's action at 1 p.m. against Moultrie Douglas. I am the one who does the scheduling, so I have no one to blame but myself, Shepard said. Guys have to travel in, and I try to make it as easy as we can for other teams to come in and play. The tournament has been growing by the year, and picking teams was not an easy choice. But Shepard said, with Rantoul's help, the tournament has built a strong reputation. We have been doing this a long time with Rantoul. Rantoul is like brothers to us, and we have always worked with them, and it has been going long enough where if you have good competition, teams will come back, Shepard said. We had to turn away t eight teams that wanted to get in this tournament. If we had more fields, I could get up to 20 to 24 teams. We have some things we have been talking about. We are growing leaps and bounds, and that is a good thing, but we have to find places to play too. For the gold speakers, they are 22-5, and Shepard said they are coming together at the right time. We started off a lot slower than we wanted, but that was to be expected. We talked about how it takes time to get going, Shepard said. We have some younger guys who are trying hard to win, but are now starting to figure things out. They are all playing well together, and I think we have the right combination to make another run this year. The top two teams after today's and Saturday's play from both locations will meet up for the semifinals and finals on Sunday at Danville Stadium. The stadium is a draw, and teams want to play there, Shepard said. The last 2 out of 3 years we had to play at Tilton because of rain issues. But the stadium is in good shape, and I hope the rain can hold off so we can play there. All in all, Shepard is pleased with the improvements in the Post-210 baseball program and the tournament. This is a good tournament, and we have had a heck of a run, and it is attributed to the coaches and parents, Shepard said. We have a lot of good people around, and it is nice to see the success we have had in every level with the program, and I hope we are doing Fred Atwood and Tyler Brennan proud. And now, a columnist. It's Dear Annie. Dear Annie, my mother-in-law is a very good person deep down. She is a joy to be around when she's sober. But more and more lately, she is not. And when she's not, she is hateful and vindictive and blames everyone else for her problems. She has gone so far recently to tell me something happened to my 2-year-old son when she was watching him, just to get me to leave work early and pick him up sooner than planned so she could start drinking. Annie, there was nothing wrong at all with my son. Whenever we call her out on her drinking, she spews hateful things at my husband and me. She has physically put her hands on me. That was years ago. Before we knew she had a problem, she was very good at hiding it. She now has the love of a man who is wonderful to her, unlike her former husband of 2 decades, who cheated multiple times on her, but she is even pushing this man away and is hateful toward him when she's drinking. On numerous occasions, we have had to cut her off from seeing our sons because she is choosing drinking over spending time with them. Of course, when we do this, we are the ones at fault, and she doesn't have a problem and she doesn't need help, and so on and so forth. I hate what this is doing to my husband, and my sons don't understand why they can't see her sometimes. We have told the eldest one, he's 10, what the real situation is, and it absolutely breaks his heart. Which I guess does actually lead me to a question. Why? Why is the pull to drink so strong that people will mess up perfectly good relationships with friends and family? I understand that it is an addiction, but why can't she and others see what they are missing out on and losing just to fill a void for only a little while? And why does she want to potentially kill herself by drinking so much? Doesn't her future matter to her? I just don't understand, and I guess I never will. I know that only she can choose to help herself, and that she will only do it so if and when she's ready. But the pain we are going through right now will inevitably become irreversible. I don't want that for my husband, my sons, or me. Thank you for taking the time to read this. And a signed depressed daughter-in-law of a drinker. Dear depressed daughter-in-law of a drinker, I am so sorry that you're going through this. To ask why is to try to ascribe rationale where there is none. The disease of alcoholism does not operate on logical terms. I urge you to attend an Al-Anon family groups meeting. I think you'll find it can be a great relief just to be in a room full of people who know exactly what you're going through. The meetings are free and anonymous. You don't even have to talk if you don't want to. And if you don't like your first meeting, don't give up. Al-Anon recommends trying at least six different meetings before deciding that the program isn't for you. Visit https://. AL-anon.org, all one word, to find a meeting near you. It just might change your life. And signed, Abby. Annie, I'm sorry, Annie Lane. And I'll get a little bit of this read. It's a baseball story. Bianco ignites Danville offense in opening game of doubleheader. Dateline Danville. Ben Bianca grew up in a college baseball family. His dad is Ole Miss coach Mike Bianco, who just completed his 17th season with the Rebels. But as an incoming freshman to University of Louisville this past year, Bianco admitted that he got humbled facing collegiate pitching for the first time. That's one of the main reasons that he was looking forward to this summer with the Danville Dans. On Thursday night, Bianco extended his hitting streak to four games as he went two for two with a single, a double, and two runs scored in the Dans' 3-1 victory over the Hannibal Hoots in the first game of a Prospect League doubleheader before 857 people at Danville Stadium. The second game was tied 1-1 in the 12th inning when the commercial news went to press. "It's nice to start feeling better in the box and getting my timing back," said Bianca, who was 6 of 14 during his hitting streak. Why does he think he is hitting better? "Just getting my at-bats," he said. "The more I'm out there, the more I see it and more comfortable that I become at the plate." And that's as far as I could go for today. This has been Lois Pausch reading the Vermilion County News for Friday, July 13th. I hope you have a good weekend, and I look forward to reading with you again soon.